Hey everyone, welcome back to Navigating Netflix Originals. As always, I'm Madison, and as always, I'm joined by Jamie.
Hello.
And welcome back to another episode of our podcast. We did not do another series like we had been potentially hoping to do this month, but we did watch a rather longer movie, so it's, you know, akin to a series.
Yes.
It was called Leave the World Behind. I believe it came out in December of last year, so it's just a few months old, and it's about 2.5 hours long, so it's a bulky movie.
Yeah.
And if you just watch the trailer on Netflix, you're going to think that boats play a much larger role in this movie than they do, because
Yeah.
the trailer just shows like this giant oil tanker running ashore on a beach, and that's like the only thing in the trailer. So I was like, oh, okay, this is clearly going to be, you know, about the beach and the ocean, but like that's just one small like 5 minute scene in
Yep.
the movie. The movie is actually about a family that goes on vacation, and while they're on vacation, there's this blackout-ish thing that kind of
Yeah.
happens across the at least the entire country. It's not really clear if it's a global thing or if it's just like an attack on America, but there's some sort of cyber attack that knocks out GPS and satellites and the internet. And because they're on vacation and not in New York City, which is where they lived, they're not really aware of how bad things are until the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Because this vacation, we'll swim in the pool, you know, they'll fix the internet, it'll be fine in a few days, kind of initially is like what they're thinking, but the situation kind of rapidly deteriorates and they become aware by the end that, that things are probably never going to be okay again.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, what did you think of this movie?
Okay, so cinematically, very beautifully shot.
Yes.
I think that there were some good moments between some of the characters. Like there was a bit of character development, which I liked.
Okay.
I do think, however, that, I mean, it definitely isn't my favorite film. But it was fine. It was fine.
I felt like it was slower than it needed to be. Like, I felt like it was trying to be like the suspenseful movie,
Yes.
but it was like suspenseful to the point where it almost got boring at times because
Yeah.
it's like, okay, you're just showing these like pan over scenes of like perfectly normal things like deers and dinner, like playing this eerie music over top of them. It's like we could have done without that. This movie could have been an hour and 45 minutes to 2 hours, and some of just dragged out scenes could have been lost.
Yeah. I mean,
Was kind of my impression.
yeah, and all the like zooming in on the deer and like any of the
Yeah.
scenes with the deer, to be honest, because it's like, I mean, I
The deer.
guess they're just telling us that like animals can sense things, but like, did we need five scenes of the deer like staring people down?
Also, like, I'm not convinced that the way the animals act in this movie is in any way like the way animals would actually react in a situation like this. I think animals can sense like weather related catastrophes, like if there's a big storm coming or a tsunami or things like that. I don't think that they can tell that the satellites have been knocked out and that we don't have GPS anymore. I don't think that they're that in tune with the world.
Yeah.
And I also don't think that their response would just be to come and stand in the yard and stare at the people,
Right.
which is what the deer do. So that was like a little bit like, has the person making this movie ever interacted with wildlife before?
Yeah.
But overall, like, I think it's a very interesting movie in the sense that it feels kind of realistic. Like, I can see this happening and I can see the way that the people respond being very accurate responses to a situation like this, especially when it comes to like the loss of technology, because
Yeah.
at one point when they still don't really know what's going on, the main characters are called Amanda and Clay, their husband and wife. Clay decides he's going to go to town to like buy a newspaper and talk to some people to see if he can, you know, get any information on what might be going on. And he literally can't find the town without his GPS working. So he just gets lost driving around and literally admits, like, later on that he doesn't even know how he found his way back because he was so lost. And it was just almost luck that he made it back to the house that they were at. So it shows, like, that we definitely have this over-reliance on technology and that we would pretty quickly deteriorate without.
Oh, yeah. I think that's totally true. Yeah, just thinking about, like, I mean, we've had moments in the recent, you know, in the recent past here where, like, Teams has gone down or Twitter has gone down or Instagram's down for 24 hours and people, like, legitimately start freaking out. So I feel like the truest part about this is that because ultimately we kind of discover that it's likely a government or like a plan designed to take a government down from the inside by making its own population crazed, essentially. And like, I was like, yeah, that's a good way to do it.
I mean, it is, yeah. And he refers to it as, like, the one guy who's talking about it called G.H. George Scott kind of describes it as, like, the most cost-effective way to cripple an entire country is, like, a three-stage attack of first attacking their communication and transportation and then attacking them with misinformation and confusing attacks. And we see that with the really loud noise attacks that they experience in phase two, which will then ultimately lead to phase three, which is civil war, where everybody is just attacking each other and you've basically collapsed an entire country then, which is terrifying because it probably would play out pretty much like that.
Yeah, I mean, truly. Yeah, I thought it was really interesting that they added the part where, like, basically in different parts of the country, they were dropping the red flyers, the propaganda flyers, where, like, some of them were written in, well, I was confused because, like, at first it made it seem like it was Arabic, but I think it might actually be Farsi. But anyway, in some some Arabic script. And then apparently over on the West Coast, they were dropping things that were either in Korean or Chinese. So it was like...
It's likely that in other areas of the country, it was dropped in other languages as well. Like the whole point Russian. Not being to reveal who is behind the attack, but just to cause mass confusion among the population.
Right. Yeah.
Although the scene where the pamphlets are all the flyers are falling out of the plane was, like, kind of eerie because it's cut back and forth between, like, an actual plane crash area where, like, Clay is finding, or not Clay, George is finding all these bodies on the beach at the scene of a plane crash, and Clay is literally, like, seeing this plane heading towards him with, like, what looks to be blood pouring out of the plane. And you realize eventually that it's just the thousands of red flyers, but it was a cool scene. It was well done.
It really was, yeah. Yeah, I was like, what is this, blood? And I was like, is that, like, leaves or, like, flower? Like, what is this?
Yeah,
that was a really cool scene.
Who do we think the Spanish-speaking woman that Clay finds on the side of the road was supposed to be?
So, listen, I don't speak Spanish, but I definitely heard... I was trying to, like, see if through French I could understand what she was saying.
Yeah.
And I knew that she was definitely talking about, like, her house and an airplane. So I think maybe she was saying that, like, an airplane had crashed near her house or, like, had crashed into her house. And she was panicking, trying to find someone to help with that. And he, you know, was not having any of it. So I think it was a pretty normal conversation. But I think we're meant to understand that, like, because he has no technology to, like, locate where he is or do anything, that Clay just is kind of panicking and is starting to treat outsiders as he's lost, starting to treat outsiders as, like, a threat almost. And so, that sort of breakdown is happening already.
Yeah, and that's, you can tell it's like an interaction that kind of haunts him later on because he gets stoned with Ruth and kind of, like, confesses that he had left this woman who clearly needed help. So the other people then in this movie are George Scott and Ruth. So like there's the family, which is Amanda, Clay, Archie, and Rose. Archie and Rose are the two kids. And then we've got George Scott, who just goes by G.H.
Yeah.
And Ruth, which is his daughter. And so Amanda's family is kind of renting out in, I'm guessing, some sort of Airbnb situation, George and Ruth's house for the weekend for a vacation. And they show up in the middle of the night and are like, we actually need to stay here because there's been a blackout in the city, kind of thing. And you definitely can tell that Amanda is not comfortable with that, and probably the fact that GH and Ruth are black have something to do with
Oh yeah, 100%. And we luckily like we get a scene later on where they kind of confront that.
Yes.
But yeah, at the whole time I'm just like, oh, this is. I mean, I can understand being skeptical, but like, yeah, the way that she was phrasing things and saying things, it was clear that it wasn't just because random people showed up, but specifically because like random black people showed up.
Even though, like, they clearly live here, they have keys, you know, to this house, kind of thing. And she's just like trying to pick it apart and find like any reason that these people might not be trustworthy. And she kind of goes into this spiel later on about how she is so attuned to like understanding the worst in people because of her job. And she hates being that way, but it's just kind of the way that she is with, she works in some sort of like marketing job. So like her job is basically to convince people to buy things that they don't actually need. So she, and then so that probably plays a role as to like why she was so hostile towards them. But I don't picture their alliance lasting long term, but I mean, it's hard to tell. Ruth definitely wants her room back. You know, she's sick of sleeping in the basement.
Yeah, well, I mean, soon they're all going to be sleeping in a tiny space together, it seems.
Well, hopefully they actually like locate Rose and the bunker and all of the food.
Yeah, I think at the very least, it sounds like GH knows who the thorns were or whatever. So like he knows where to go based on that prepper guy's suggestion. But yeah, I mean,
And
like that's gonna be a whole situation.
yeah, I love, I mean, at first, like Rose, she's got to be like what, 13 years old, and her obsession with the Friends show. So she's watched all 10 seasons of Friends, except for the very last episode when this happens. And she doesn't know what happens with Ross and Rachel. And it's just like driving her mad that she's never going to know what happens between Ross and Rachel. And number one, I feel like this show is old. Probably everybody around her knows that she gets off the plane and Ross and Rachel end up together. And they could have just told her that.
Yes.
Like, drop the suspense. Ruth even admits to having watched it all. Like, somebody in this group knows that Ross and Rachel end up together, and they could have just told her that to alleviate her panic. But
Yeah.
I feel like her storyline is also, it's there to kind of show what happens when you shield kids from the truth of how bad a situation is, because Amanda doesn't want Archie and Rose to like know that anything bad is going on. She wants them just to enjoy their vacation. Things will be normal in a couple of days, kind of mindset. But it's
Right.
like, as the situation continues to deteriorate, Archie is kind of eventually aware that things are not good. His teeth literally just
Oh,
start falling
God.
out of his mouth. The creepiest scene of the movie, because he's just like casually pulling them out without like any real concern on his face at first. And I'm just like, what are you doing? Oh my God. But then, like, nobody really ever pays much attention to Rose, and she eventually just ends up leaving on a bike looking for a TV that will work so she can watch Friends, and ultimately finds a DVD of it and is able to watch it at the end in the bunker. Oh, yeah, the scene with Archie is just so creepy, though.
Oh, it's terrible. And I liked the misdirection of being like, you know, we see him get bit by a pretty nasty looking bug and have a
Yeah.
pretty nasty wound. And so you can tell like little by little he's starting to seem a little feverish and all that. But it turns out, you know, he if we understand it correctly, it's probably actually is from radiation.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, I feel like there's either something that flashes on the screen at the end saying there's some sort of like increased radiation levels.
Yep.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so that way you know that that's probably the case and that it's not just the random bug bite. So they all need to
Right.
get sheltered in radiation sealed place Or they're all gonna lose their teeth and stuff.
Right. Well, and Danny there, that survivalist guy at the end, like mentions as well that somehow like radiation could be transmitted through the sound that they're all hearing. Periodically, they're hearing this really, really high-pitched sound that's like loud enough to crack glass and presumably like even damage eardrums. But also, like I've heard in the past, and he mentions this as well, that the sound itself can like cause your bones to vibrate so much that it can cause like issues with your teeth falling out. Like that is a thing that can happen. So I'm wondering if it's not even like the radiation so much as the noise itself is just causing like literally rattling as teeth are loose kind of thing.
Oh gosh, could be.
Which means that there is no medication that Danny has that's going to solve this, no matter how much money they're willing to pay for it.
Yeah. Well, and I guess we see, yeah, that might make more sense because although there are radiation levels rising, we can also maybe attribute that to the, there's a scene where Amanda and Ruth are like staring at the Manhattan skyline and they see just like a huge explosion, which was likely like the power grid or like some sort of thing that went off.
Kind of thing, yep.
So that could be like the fallout from that because they are downwind probably of that.
I mean, they're close enough to see it, so they're not too far away from it. They can see the city burning from a distance.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, that's gonna be six people in that little house. Like, I don't know if that's gonna, how long that'll last.
And especially when you consider it's not even the whole house that they're going to have.
No.
It's like basically the underground bunker area, which does seem relatively well prepped, but I'm
Yeah.
just like, where are the people who prepped this? Why is this house entirely empty and the bunker is
Right.
completely empty? Like
I guess in
these
like,
people aren't going to show up wanting their bunker eventually, I feel.
yeah. I mean, they might be like the, you know, the situation with GH where they have a place in the city and this is kind of like their second home. So they prepped it all out, but then maybe they got stuck in the city when all of the cars,
Maybe,
'cause it sounds like GH was able to get out pretty early. But then we see
right.
like, oh my God, the scene where all of the self-driving Teslas are just like speeding and like crashing into each other to like clog the highway.
That was
That's,
such an eerie scene,
yeah.
and like think that like yeah, I could see how that would potentially be a possibility that hackers could get into all these self-driving cars and just program the drive until they crash on the highway to just clog up all of the highways to prevent people from being able to get around. Like, what a creepy idea.
Yeah, it's so creepy. And luckily, she realizes it in the nick of time and saves
Yes,
them.
manages to like save everybody
Yeah.
temporarily anyways. But yeah, the scene with Danny where they're like drawing guns on each other because they really want Danny to sell them medication to help with Archie's loose teeth. I just kept thinking like, what medication do they really think he's gonna have? He's not a doctor. Like, he's probably got some pain medication and some antibiotics stockpiled, but like, what do you think he's gonna have that is gonna fix this situation that it's worth killing him over?
Yeah, I don't know, 'cause like, I mean, the kid's
He does eventually
already,
give him a hug.
he does give him something. I mean, he's already like throwing up blood and stuff though, so that can't possibly be good.
Even if Danny had antibiotics and gave them antibiotics, I feel like an antibiotic isn't fixing whatever is wrong with Archie.
Yeah, unless it's like, unless the vomiting blood is a radiation thing and the pills were like, you know, those medications that you can take to like reduce radiation or whatever. Although I feel like those are usually taken like preemptively and not after you've already been exposed.
And then maybe the vomiting blood is just like all of his teeth are bleeding, so like he's swallowing a lot of blood and just ultimately throws that back up because sometimes when you are like ingesting a lot of blood in that way, you'll just throw it back up naturally to get rid of it. So I guess like that's a possibility from like why he might be throwing up blood. But either way, I feel like Danny didn't have anything that could really help the situation, especially if it was just like his teeth were literally rattled loose from sound.
Yeah.
Like, there's no medication that's gonna fix that.
No, it also bugged me that he left like one tooth in. I'm like, just pull the other front tooth out, like.
Bothered me that he pulled more than one
I
out once you
know.
realize like that's what's happening. Why do you just keep pulling more out? He pulled out like four or five of
Although
them
I guess
in like
like if they
casually Stop.
But I guess if they came out that easy, like next time he like takes a bite of anything, he's gonna like rip more teeth out. So
Gonna fall out, yeah.
yeah.
Which makes me think that they're like his gums themselves are probably bleeding a lot, and he's probably swallowing a lot of blood. So maybe that's why he threw blood up.
Yeah.
Best case scenario for Archie.
It's kind of an interesting thing though, 'cause like if the goal is to overthrow the government by like making the people do th basically go into a state of chaos, like what is the benefit of like it's got to be like an accidental radiation thing, I would think, if it is that, or even like the sound thing too. It's like what good is it to basically like kill these people if you want them to be fighting internally?
Yeah,
You
I mean,
know?
I feel like it's the sound thing isn't really killing a lot of people. It's probably damaging a lot of people's eardrums and teeth. But I feel like it's also probably the people who are more susceptible to that kind of damage are the ones that were outside during it. And Archie was outside both times, and I think he may have been the only character who was outside for, both loud sound kind of things. And whereas like the other characters were inside more, or at least for one of the times to block some of it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's creepy.
It is. It really is. But yeah, so yeah, it's interesting that like they bring up a lot of interesting points, like GH mentions having this friend, and basically the long story short is that like we want to believe that there's some sort of like evil group that knows all the plans and what's going on, but the reality is that like no one knows anything. And so it's kind of like the best you can get is a heads up at the last minute to be safe. And so it's an interesting thing, because I think we do often think like, oh, these people are in cahoots to like destroy X and Y, but what if it really is just like we're at the whim of just what anything really?
That there's not really some giant world order controlling everything in reality. And that, like, our government isn't necessarily strong enough to stop something like this. Certainly they are trying to prevent something like this from happening, but it's not a guarantee that they will be able to if someone actually wanted to attack the country in this way. And, sorry, I don't remember where I was going to go with that.
That's okay.
But,
But yeah.
yeah, like, the whole thing, I think the eeriest thing about the entire movie is just how real it felt and like how much of a possibility like this could, nothing seemed science fiction or abstract. I feel like if something like this had come out 20 years ago, it would have been more like, oh, science fiction-y almost. But like now it's like, yeah, okay. I can see how that would all happen.
It's so true. Minus the like deer acting in a particular
Yeah.
way.
Wildlife was still weird, and I feel like this person who directed and created this movie just had never spent much time around deer or flamingos.
Yeah,
But
there was
beyond
like,
that.
yeah, there was like a one-off message of like, I think it was on the video or on the TV when it flashed on. I can't remember. Something said about like some sort of economic disaster being caused by all of this that is like, which is probably why the flamingos ended up all the way up there, but it's only ever briefly mentioned. And yet, like, you would think that if the animals were being affected to that extent, where like they're migrating that way, like the deer would run and try to go somewhere and not just like gather at the shed.
I remember what I was gonna say earlier. Just about like George's job seems to have been working with very rich, powerful people and like kind of managing their money. And so he's got this friend that you were talking about who had in the past jokingly, said things about how he was like part of this evil order of, like all the rich people kind of thing. And it kind of becomes apparent to George, I think, that the best you can really hope for in a real catastrophe is a heads up. And it seems like that's what this rich guy got, was like a heads up that shit is going to get bad, at least in America. And probably what he'd had George do was move a lot of his money out of like American accounts and into foreign accounts. And probably that guy himself went out of the country to get away from like whatever was going to happen here.
Yeah. Which in reality, maybe that's what happened to the people who like made the bunker too. They were, they like made it and then they're like, well, maybe we just leave instead.
Yeah, we are going to get the heads up on it anyways. Like, maybe we just get the hell out of here. But then again, we don't know, and the people in the movie don't know how widespread this attack is, if it is just an attack on the United States or if it is
Yeah.
a sort of global attack. Nobody really knows at this point.
No.
And perhaps they never will.
Yeah, well, we certainly won't because the film ends shortly after, unless we get a follow-up film of them hanging out in the bunker together.
Yeah, just watching Friends on a loop.
Yeah. Well, they had all the nice like 90s, early 2000 shows on DVD.
They are really stocked up for that. I love that, like, the end of this very like serious creepy movie is just the Friends theme song.
Yeah.
And she like plays and finally gets to hit play on the very last episode to find out that she got off the plane.
This is like yet another end of the world movie where like we don't really see the end of the world.
Right.
It just
Yes.
kind of it was it had a similar vibe to like Carol and the End of the World, where it's just like, okay,
Yeah.
things are
I
ending,
feel
but
like
we're not gonna see any of it.
we do see the New York City skyline like basically on fire. So like that's
Yeah.
sort of seeing the end of the world.
True, true.
But yeah. I hope, I mean, I guess we can assume that probably like Amanda and Ruth will find Rosie in this house because they had already found the house and just got distracted looking at the New York City skyline. But like the house that Rose is in is was already in their eyesight. They were closing in on it. So probably they'll find the house and they'll find her
Yeah.
and eventually meet back up with Clay and GH and all kind of move into this bunker together. But that's, we don't know that for sure.
Right. Oh,
Ruth
man.
certainly was concerned that she would never see her dad again when he leaves with Clay and Archie.
True. Well, and then GH is also basically like, are you ready to like potentially murder people to like get into this bunker with me?
Right. Don't worry, nobody's home. It's fine.
Yeah, it's just oddly empty.
That was weird too. Like, where are the people who built this bunker?
Yeah.
Stockpiled for with food for years.
Who knows? But yeah, that's pretty
That's
much it, I think.
pretty much the movie. It's got Julia Roberts in it. We didn't mention that. She plays Amanda. I feel like I haven't
Yeah.
seen something in a really long
I
time.
know, old Julia. She
But she
was.
plays a very serious character in this.
Yeah, she does.
More used to seeing her in rom-coms.
Yeah. Do you have any quotes from the film?
I do. I have quite a few, well, not quite a few, but like five or six of them.
Right. You go for
My first one's just Amanda in the very opening of the movie saying, "I fucking hate people."
it. Yeah. That was a good one. You might have some of the ones. We might have the same since we have a similar thought process. There was a nice exchange between it was pretty late in the film between George and Amanda, and he said something like, oh, this is the conversation about like basically racism. He says, some of my smartest clients lost a lot of money because they based their choices on preconceived beliefs instead of truth. Seeing the difference is one of the hardest things a person can do. And she says, when they don't and you do, gotta be maddening. And then he eventually says, nothing frightens me more than a person who is unwilling to learn, even at their own expense. That's a darkness that I will never understand.
I did have that exchange
Yeah.
written down. And it actually, I had a quote that even preceded that where Amanda says, "You dig deep enough and it's probably all a delusion."
Oh, yes. Yeah. She had that whole like monologue about like how we're probably living a lie was really good.
And I have Amanda's long monologue later on as well written down where she's in the cabin with Ruth and she says, We fuck every living thing on this planet over, and we think it'll be fine because we use paper straws and order the free-range chicken. And the sick thing is, I think deep down we know we're not fooling anyone. I think we know we're living a lie, and agreed upon mass delusion to help us ignore and keep ignoring how awful we are.
Yeah, that was good.
A follow-up to her delusion quote.
Yeah. No, I do not have any other quotes.
I have one more written down, and it was more of a funny one. And it was the exchange after Danny finally sells Clay the medicine for $1,000. Danny says, I knew it would eventually come down to a barter system." Clay looks at him, and he's like, "It's still cash. It's not a barter system."
Yeah, cash that will 100% be worthless soon.
Seriously, yeah. Although not quite as worthless as Apple Pay is in this situation.
So true. I know some people already that are like just reliant on Apple Pay and like don't carry a credit card around or any other like, I'm like, it's crazy, you know?
Probably because my parents are old and pay with nothing but cash, so I usually still have some cash on me. It's usually like less than $100, but like it's some cash
Yeah.
anyway. I always have my quarter for the Aldi shopping cart.
There you go. Gotta have that.
Gotta have that. But
But yeah.
yeah, that was all the quotes I had.
Well, that then brings us to the end of Leave the World Behind.
It does.
Yeah. And you can let us know what you thought about that over on Twitter/X at NNO Podcast.
Or if you don't use Twitter slash X, you can send us an email to navigatingnetflixoriginals@gmail.com. And as always, feel free to reach out to us if you have any suggestions for movies or series that are Netflix originals that you would like us to discuss in the future.
And one last thing, which maybe Madison may not be aware of yet, is that our very first episode, which was not even about a Netflix original, but just introducing ourselves, was published exactly 6 years ago today.
Oh my God.
Yeah, February 25th, 2018, which I just outed myself because I'm a couple episodes behind publishing, so this will come out like mid-March. But
If we're
yeah, February 25th, 2018. Wow.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe we've been doing this for 6 years. This all started because we just wanted to have a really in-depth discussion of the show Grace and Frankie, and we were like, let's record ourselves doing it. Maybe other people want to hear it too.
Yep.
And look where we are now.
And here we are. But yeah, so on that note, I forget what we usually say now. Thanks
Well,
again.
thanks for listening, guys,
Yeah,
and
thanks for
we'll
listening.
hear you on the next podcast.
Yep, here's to another 6 years.
Another 6 years of NNO. Cheers.
Cheers. And until next time, goodbye. Oh, I
Not
just
our
sang bye.
smoothest.
No.